Misfits, welcome back to the Misfits and Mysteries podcast. We are your weekly podcast for all things from cryptids and aliens to psychology and history and everything in between. We are your hosts, Emmy
and Steve.
So Steve, how are we doing?
Good. I'm vaccinated now, which is exciting. I volunteered myself to work at a COVID vaccination center. It was very rewarding, I'll say. I worked there from like 10:30 a.m. till 6:30 p.m. and I got my Moderna shot.
Yeah.
It was worth it. If you can get vaccinated, please do. And if you're able to help out at a vaccination center and you need any advice, reach out to us on Twitter, shoot us a DM or just tweet at us. I will gladly answer any questions you have if you're in New York.
Yeah. And just take some of the pressure off.
Yeah, no, it does. It's nice. Also, it helps stop the spread of coronavirus, stops all the mutations you hear about. So if you can do it, there's no guarantee you'll get a vaccine. But if there's leftovers, which there almost always are, they will give it to you rather than let it go to waste.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So how's your weekend going? Do anything fun?
Let's see. What did I do this weekend? So my big project this weekend was, I don't know if I've talked about this before, but my plants are dying.
Yes. I mean, you killed them by accident when you knocked it over that time.
I didn't kill it, but it's just, maybe you can see it back there. It's not doing too hot. It's getting a little...
It's a little fuzzy, but I can see that there's a plant there.
Yeah, I mean, the leaves are getting a little crispy, some would say.
Mm-hmm.
And that one plant I did accidentally drop on the ground when I was drunk one night and had to scoop it back in. So it's been struggling since then. But some of my other plants, I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
I don't know. That's a bummer.
This weekend, my project was to go get new pots for the plants, repot them, and start being a good plant mom.
Good. Good for you.
If anyone has any advice, please help.
I bet my dad could help, but I don't think he's actually going to listen to this. He listened to our last episode, though, with Campbell McLaren. Loved it. Great episode. Yes, you all check that out as well. Check out our past episodes, too. I mean, we have some really good ones, guys, if you're new.
Yeah, we do.
This week, we're joined by the Tipsy Pod podcast, and we talk about some horror movies, and then we play a great cryptid trivia game. I actually don't even know if it's called trivia. Basically, Emmy and I have two separate lists with actual cryptids on it and then just other random things. And based on the description, the guess is it a cryptid or is it literally anything else?
Could be a real animal. It could be
a mop.
Could be a mop. You never know.
Could be a mop. You never know. It's a fun time. So that's going to be later in the episode. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, I guess a couple announcements. Our newsletter comes out the first Friday of every month. Go to our website, mistressandmysteries.com, to sign up for our newsletter and read our blogs. There's some great blogs. And also please subscribe to this show on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you never miss an episode. It really helps us out too with our ratings. And consider leaving a review. You don't have to write anything. You can just leave a 5-star review. Either way, it's great.
Yeah.
Our final big announcement is stay tuned this month. We're going to finally bring you Pinocchio the movie. Sorry, Pinocchio in space.
Pinocchio in space.
That is the movie, Pinocchio in space.
Steve, when we were talking before this, accidentally said Pinocchio in sauce, which I think would be a really good episode too.
I think that would be too. That could be the name of it. So what are we getting into today?
I am talking about the times that The Simpsons has predicted the future.
And I'm going to be talking about the Mandela effect. And we're going to play a little game. I'll get your take on whether people are just stupid or is an actual Mandela effect.
Do we not know how to spell or is it a glitch in the matrix? Who knows?
Who knows? All right. So do you want to jump on into the episode?
Let's jump in. So, Steve, this week I have compiled some of the biggest times that The Simpsons has predicted the future. Some of them are not that convincing, but some of them are like kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. So, are you ready?
I am very ready.
Okay. So, I'm just going to kind of start listing them off. But why this has recently started to bubble up again is because it predicted some things about Inauguration Day and recent political events. So there have been some recent rumblings that are bringing this back up again. But the fact that they predict the future has been a thing since the show started.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing. That's what we're going to see probably. I've heard about this in the past. At the same time, though, they've been running for so long and just making random predictions about things. I'd be really curious to see like the ratio of what sticks versus what doesn't. Because I bet there's like thousands of things that didn't happen versus like 100 that did. I'd be curious to see.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
The first one, there's an episode from the year 2000 called Bart to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
So this is 21 years ago. And in this episode, Bart Simpson travels to the future and sees the president of the United States is Donald Trump. He creates like this terrible economic issues. And there's also, you know, that picture of Trump like coming down the stairs waving?
Yeah.
That's in the episode.
That's so funny.
Not the stairs, the escalator. So the fact that they even predicted that is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trump was adamantly saying at that time that he was not going to run for president.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't there chatter, though, that he's going to run for mayor of New York at one point?
Probably.
I would wonder if they're making fun of that and they just were spot on with their prediction.
Yeah. Well, so this is what the creator of this show said. And I'll tell you, this episode gets weirder, but
okay.
Hang on. So the creator of the show said, we predicted that he would be president back in 2000, but Trump was, of course, the most absurd placeholder joke name that we could think of at the time. And that's still true. It's beyond satire.
That's so funny.
Which is fair. That's fair. Yeah.
That's crazy.
But it gets a little weirder. So in that same episode, who takes over from President Trump but Lisa Simpson?
Mm-hmm.
So after Trump, she becomes the first female president of the United States. And some people are saying, oh, that's a nod to Kamala, which VP, president, whatever.
It's like, kind of a stretch, but.
It's a stretch. And like predicting that there's going to be a female president at some point is not enough for me.
It's not as impressive as predicting that Trump is going to be president.
But the weird thing about it is that on Lisa's inauguration day, she wears a purple pantsuit with a pearl necklace and pearl earrings, which is exactly what Kamala wore to Biden's inauguration day.
That's so weird. I wonder if there's some weird Illuminati shit where people just do whatever The Simpsons says.
Yeah.
But like they're all part of like the Illuminati or something. And they're like, Lisa wore purple pantsuit and pearl earrings. That's what you have to wear, yeah. Kamala.
Yeah. So that's interesting because the next one kind of feels like that happened. So in 2012, there is an episode of The Simpsons where Lady Gaga performed for the town of Springfield. Okay. Mm-hmm. And in the show, she's like, hanging from the rafters and she has like sparklers shooting out of her boobs and she's flying all around. 5 years later, she performed at the Super Bowl and it was almost identical.
That's insane.
Hanging from the rafters, sparklers from the boobs. But that begs the question of, did The Simpsons inspire this performance? Probably.
I imagine. She's probably like, holy shit, that's a great idea.
Yeah, exactly. So that one is kind of weird, though, just in how identical it is. But
But that could be, rather than art imitating reality, that could be reality imitating art.
Yes. Which I don't think happened with the Kamala one. Like she would.
Yeah, I don't think Kamala is like, you know what I'm going to wear? I'm going to wear what Lisa Simpson wore when she became the first female president in The Simpsons.
Exactly. But if you look at their outfits, it's uncanny.
I'm going to look at this.
And I'm going to write a blog about this too, guys. So if you want to see these photos, check out the blog on our website, missbitsandmysteries.com.
Yes, check it out. Okay, that is uncanny.
Right?
If Lisa was wearing a mask, though, that would be like,
That would be weird.
That would be too much.
Would you like to hear about some COVID predictions?
Yeah, sure.
That's a good segue. So there's a 1993 episode called Marge in Chains. And during the episode, a Japanese factory worker accidentally spreads this really contagious flu all across Springfield. So I guess he kind of like sneezes into a box that gets sent to Springfield and then it spreads from there. The fact that there's a pandemic or an epidemic even in The Simpsons, that's not the crazy part. The weird part is when they're rushing to find a cure, there's a doctor standing at this podium and all the people are chanting like, we need a cure. We need a cure. Someone accidentally knocks over a van containing killer bees.
So the free, oh my God.
So the
murder hornets.
It's the murder hornets during a pandemic.
That's wild. That's crazy.
Like, how random is that?
It's really random.
And another recent one that people are saying The Simpsons predicted. So this same 1993 episode about the pandemic and the murder hornets, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Springfield mayor, Joe Quimbley, goes and gives a press conference saying that there is this, you know, sickness spreading around, whatever. He gives a press conference and then it kind of zooms out and it's revealed that he's actually broadcasting from the Bahamas and he's got like swim trunks on underneath. Yeah. So people are saying that that's similar to the Ted Cruz incident,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, all the power was out in Texas and Ted Cruz just fled to Cancun.
I don't really see the connection with that as much because there are other examples. I almost think a better example is it wasn't a pandemic, right? But for some reason, they closed down all the beaches in New Jersey. I think there was a storm or something. Mm-hmm. And Chris Christie and his family went and hung out in the beaches and no one else was allowed there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think that's the best parallel. There are a lot of examples throughout history of politicians just like saying, fuck it, and pretending they're somewhere when they're not.
Yeah. Well, I think the weird thing was it was the same episode as the pandemic and the murder hornets. And then
pretty crazy.
Guy flees. I think if they were really trying to show us they knew the future, they could have done a better job.
Yeah, I know. I think they're just get lucky at these predictions.
But they get a little bit weirder. Okay. Those are just sort of like the recent ones, but I'll get into some of the more famous ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this one's a little complicated. So bear with me.
All right. But
in a 1998 episode called The Wizard of Evergreen Terrace, Homer Simpson becomes this crazy smart mathematician.
Yeah.
That's
the one that's making fun of Iris for Algernon, right?
I don't know.
Is there a crayon stuck in his head or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one that's making fun of Iris for Algernon.
Yeah. Okay. So he's a really smart guy and he's got this equation. It just kind of pans over. There's this equation on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And people looked at this equation later and realized that this is the exact equation that in 2013 scientists used to prove the existence of the Higgs boson particle, aka the God particle.
That's insane.
It's the exact equation.
Do we know if the equation was common knowledge though beforehand? Because possibly they just copied and pasted it off something.
So the equation was first devised in 1964.
Okay, so it's not like they invented it before it was invented. Yes,
but it wasn't really like, it wasn't like a huge thing in the scientific community in 1998, I don't think. But I mean, it wasn't like they came up with the equation themselves.
Yeah. I mean, they did have smart people writing back in the day. Conan O'Brien is a Harvard grad.
Yes. Yes. And that's actually the explanation for a lot of these is they seem really like, oh my gosh, how could you have predicted that? But these are like really smart people.
Yeah. We're talking Harvard graduates here. We're not talking like you and I being like, Trump's going to be president, or like, it's not like you or I chose, we wrote a random equation and it turned out to be like the Higgs boson.
So I'll give you another kind of weird one.
All right.
There's a 2010 episode.
Mm-hmm.
Called Boy Meets Curl. And in the episode, Marge and Homer compete in a curling competition at the Vancouver Olympics and beat Sweden. It's kind of like this huge upset, US beats Sweden.
Yeah.
But in 2018, 8 years later, this was actually one of the biggest upsets in the Olympics, was the US curling team won gold over the favorite Sweden. And they were not predicted to do so.
That's crazy. But if you really dissect that one, if we know that Sweden is like the reigning champion and the US is an underdog and they're both American, it's not the craziest jump to be like the underdog beats the top dog. That's a classic story there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it was like the next Winter Olympics. So it was like,
that is pretty crazy.
Okay, I have some more. So in 2008, The Simpsons I didn't write down the name of the episode. There's an episode where Homer was trying to vote for Obama in the US election, but Faulty Machine actually changed his vote from Obama to McCain.
I saw that episode. I remember that.
And then 4 years later, voting machines in Pennsylvania had to be removed because it kept changing people's votes for Obama to ones for Mitt Romney.
That's insane. That's a good one.
Right? That one's a little weird.
Yeah. That is crazy, though, that they did that. All right. This is a random tangent, but someone I'd love to talk to, and it's kind of related to this, is if you ever watched like the Onion News Network from back in like 2010 through 2015, really?
Yeah.
Where Facebook killed the Onion. I would love to talk to one of the writers there because they're so funny. But something that was brought to my attention, they're like the recent Lady Gaga thing where her dogs were stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's talked about the fact that her dog walker was shot. No one's talking about that. Everyone's just talking about Lady Gaga's dogs. There's this one, like, a fake news story, obviously, or not fake, it's parody news, it's not fake news, about Beyonce walking down a street, and it was a stray bullet, but luckily a passerby walked at the exact right time to take the bullet for her.
Oh my God.
And then, like, the news reports, like, they're at the hospital, and they're like, Beyonce has a minor bruise from the person who took the bullet falling on her. So she's in a restorative spa right now. We're hoping that she gets back better, and they just ignore the fact that some poor person's got shot.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It reminded me a lot of that.
Yeah. That really did happen with the Lady Gaga one, though. They're like, Lady Gaga's dogs are missing. She has this reward out. And then you like get into the article and it's like, her dog walker is in critical condition.
I know. Also, let's get real here. We're not a big conspiracy podcast, but there is no way that that woman that found the dogs wasn't a part of it. Right. $500,000 where the dogs were tied up wasn't like a back alley. It looked like it was on the public street.
Yeah, the whole thing is kind of weird.
The poor dog walker got shot for in real life, though. I don't think that the dog walker is part of this, but the person who found the dogs 100% was involved in some capacity. Maybe not the gunman, but maybe...
Yeah, and I wonder if they did it for ransom or if they even knew it was Lady Gaga's dogs. I don't know.
Why would you just steal a random pair of dogs? Because
probably expensive dogs.
Maybe. I don't know. That's true. She should have gotten a rescue dog instead of a designer dog, Lady Gaga.
Could have saved a dog walker's life.
Yeah, exactly. If it's like, oh, I don't want that mutt, that poor dog walker when he got shot.
Although if you're walking around in LA, it's probably a good chance it's someone famous's dog.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, though. I will say, though, if you did just stumble upon Lady Gaga's missing dogs and got $500,000, that's one hell of a payday.
Yeah.
You just wish you found him in, like, Texas or Florida or somewhere that has no state income tax.
Okay, I'm going to get back in.
All right. Jump in.
Back in. So this episode is from 1998. It's called When You Wish Upon a Star.
Mm-hmm.
And Homer creates a movie script. And they end up producing it. And the script is produced by 20th Century Fox.
Mm-hmm. Who owns them?
So outside of the movie theater where Homer's thing is being shown, there's a big sign that says 20th Century Fox, a division of Walt Disney Company.
That is weird.
And 19 years later, Disney purchased Fox for $52 billion.
Which is wild.
That's weird. Why would they even have that on the sign?
I don't know. That's really weird. I know that in their contract, they have full creative control and Fox isn't allowed to intervene with anything they say or do. So that's why they're allowed to make fun of them. But still, like, that seems like a weird joke to make that they're going to get bought by Disney 19 years later.
Yeah, that one's weird. And like, it was just like a flyby scene, you know, it wasn't like a big thing. It was just like someone noticed it in the background.
Yeah, that's so strange.
Weird.
Yeah, that's like a detail you have to actually create in there. It's not like coincidence, it's a detail.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here's the next one. So it's from 1995, an episode called Lisa's Wedding. And Lisa takes a trip to London.
Yep.
And Steve and I studied abroad together in London. So
in 2015, right?
Yes. But this was in 1995.
Oh, I thought you said that they were in 2015 when they went. Okay.
No.
I was like, that's fucking wild.
Yeah. 1995 is when the episode came out. And when they're in London, there's a, you know, the Tower Bridge.
Yes.
What everyone thinks is the London Bridge is actually called the Tower Bridge.
Uh-huh.
And behind the Tower Bridge, just randomly in the background, is a skyscraper that looks just like the Shard, which was not created until 14 years later.
That's so weird. Isn't the Shard the one where they told us with the sunlight deflects off it a certain way, it can like melt cars?
Yeah. It's like really tall and skinny and reflective.
Yeah. I remember the Shard. We went up there like early on in London, but we didn't want to pay like all the money to go to the top. So we went to the Chinese food restaurant and ordered like a drink each.
Yeah.
It's like on the 35th floor. It's still a great view.
Close enough.
Yeah.
But that one's weird because that's another one that's like in the details, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Like, why would they put that in there?
I don't know. I mean, 15 years later is built, right? You said, or 14 years?
14 years, yeah.
It is possible that someone happened to have a deep knowledge of the goings-on of building permits in London and whatnot, but it just seems like that might be a little bit too far in advance to plan a building.
Yeah. That one I can't really explain.
Yeah, I can't either. Another example is there's this video game that came out in the 2000s, I think, called Deus Ex.
Mm-hmm.
And in the original game, the graphics processor, it takes place in New York City, couldn't render the Twin Towers in it. So the game came out with no Twin Towers. And like a year later, the attack happened. And people said it was a whole conspiracy. But yeah. It's like, no, it was just coincidentally, the graphic rendering didn't allow them to add the Twin Towers into the background.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
There's also, I didn't write this one down, but there is a 9/11, one of the Simpsons. Where there's like, I don't know if it's worth looking up. There's like this brochure, basically,
mm-hmm.
that I didn't write this down because like, I don't want
Let's skip. It's 9/11.
I
don't like 9/11 conspiracy theories because 9/11 actually happened. People, a lot of people died. I know people whose parents died. If anyone ever like approached me with a 9/11 conspiracy, I would just shut them down because I don't fuck around with that. I know quite a few people whose parents died in 9/11.
Yeah, we'll see that one. Okay, so I'll do two more.
All right.
So this one is called the horse meat scandal. So There was an episode in season 5 in 1994.
Yeah.
Where Lunch Lady Doris uses, quote, assorted horse parts to make lunch for students at the elementary school.
Did she make meatballs?
I don't know. She's taking meat out of a bucket that says assorted horse parts now with more testicles. So 9 years later, the Food Safety Authority of Ireland found horse DNA in over 1/3 of beef burger samples from supermarkets, ready meals, and school lunches, and pig in 85% of them.
And pig's fine. Pork is fine.
Yeah, but if you're selling it as beef.
Oh, that's true.
Horse meat in it?
People are missing the big picture of IKEA got in trouble for selling horse meat in their meatballs.
Really?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was horse meat.
Oh my God, I eat those meatballs all the time.
No, it's not anymore. 2013, Swedish furniture giant has become the latest retailer swept in Europe during a horse meat scandal. Yeah. Huh? I thought they were going for that.
I mean, yeah, that's gross.
Yeah.
Last one.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1999, there was an episode where Homer uses nuclear energy to create a hybrid of a tomato and tobacco plants, and it's called the Tomaco. And then in 2003, someone actually does this using a tobacco root and a tomato stem to make Tomaco.
Were they inspired by The Simpsons?
So that's what they think happened, is this guy was like inspired by The Simpsons to create his own plant.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually after people saw this connection, they actually got connected with the guy who made the tobacco plant, and the writers of The Simpsons actually invited the inventor and his family to their offices and they ate the fruit together.
That's crazy. I mean, even if he was inspired by it, the fact that they predicted that you can combine a tobacco and tomato plant is pretty crazy. Unless they had a biologist on staff who was like, yeah, they're similar enough or something like that.
Even if it's just like crazy smart people, mm-hmm. like that's pretty cool that they were able to predict all of these things would happen.
Oh, yeah. Another thing, I mean, I'm going to plug a YouTube channel I watch that had an interesting about time travel, which I think is kind of related to this. There's this YouTube channel I watch. It's called Brew. It's like an animated thing, but they teach you shit. I sent you a video last night. I don't know if you actually watched it, about the time travelers.
I didn't get a chance to.
You should check it out. It's really interesting. But you know all those famous like videos and photos of time travelers that people are like, indisputable evidence?
Yeah.
What's really fascinating with the video, what they showed is they pretty much broke down how they're all not time travelers. And a lot of things that you thought are new were invented so much longer ago.
Yeah.
The best example, have you seen the famous picture of the guy wearing what looks like a logo t-shirt, sunglasses, and is holding a camera?
Yeah. I can't picture it right now, but I've definitely seen
it. If you Google it, you'll know what I'm talking about. So yeah. They broke down what actually is in the picture. First of all, it's not a logo tee. He's wearing a Montreal Maroons jersey, which is a defunct NHL franchise that existed at the time the photo was taken. And the photo was taken in Canada, so it makes sense. Sunglasses were invented. Aviators, which he's wearing, were invented in like the 1920s, I think.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at the photo now.
And that little miniature camera he has that people are like, is proof that he's a time traveler. That thing was invented in 1934.
When was the photo taken?
It was taken, I think it was post-World War II. So all this stuff had been out for decades.
Yeah.
And the other point they brought up, which is really fascinating to me, is that when people are saying, oh, he's a time traveler, he's a time traveler doesn't exist yet. And all the items he's holding in the thing are actually significantly more difficult to get your hands on now because they're antiques than they would have been when they were created in the 1930s and 40s.
And like, clearly we don't have time travel yet. So presumably he would be from the future.
That means that he is from the way in the future and still uses like the first ever film camera that's small. He's wearing aviators from the 1930s and a 50-60 year old defunct NHL franchise's jersey.
Yeah,
all things that are really hard to get your hands on now, let alone 100 years from now.
Well, you know what, Steve, that kind of sucks the fun out of it though.
It does. I know. It's interesting to look at it that way. I mean, yeah, I'm not trying to be a fun sucker per se.
He does look strange because he just doesn't look like the people around him who are all wearing hats and suits and ties.
Yeah.
He really sticks out.
He just sticks out, right? But it doesn't mean anything.
And also, this is like, people are like, oh, he's holding a camera. This is a photo.
I know.
Someone had to have a camera to take the picture. No one thinking about that.
No one thought about that. Yeah. So like, the camera wasn't invented yet. It's like, but what is he?
So how are you looking at this?
How are you looking at this photo right now? Did another time traveler take it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, I guess it's more fun to pretend these things are real, but I just think it's really important to also think critically.
Yeah.
Because it's really interesting to break down like how these things have actually existed for a lot longer than you'd ever expect.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, sure, graphic tees weren't around, but there were jerseys. Sunglasses are a lot older than you or I would have expected. And same with cameras.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right, so now time for Tipsy Pod.
Woo-hoo! Hey, Misfits, welcome back. Today we are joined by two lovely ladies from their Terrified and Tipsy podcast. So thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're excited. Yeah.
Thanks for going on.
So do you guys want to tell us a little bit about your show?
Sure.
Sure. So what we do is we watch a movie together. Well, we don't watch it together. We watch it separately so that we can kind of get really good reactions from each other when we actually do talk about it. But we dissect the movies and
scary movies.
Scary.
Or some type of suspenseful.
Of course. Stephanie is terrified of
horror. A lot of things.
Scary movies is one of them. Scary movies don't faze me. Like, they're,
you're like desensitized to them.
I am. I can just like cut myself. It's fine. But yeah, so we talk about the movies. We watch them, we talk about them, and we dissect them. So we talk about the cliche moments that are in these movies, or what completely terrified Stephanie as far as like, was it the jump factors? Uh-huh. Was it
how anxious it made me?
Yeah.
How clammy my hands got during it.
Right. So yeah, so we just talk about these scary movies, and
we drink wine while we do it. That's a big factor for us is we have some type of wine each week when we watch the movie and talk about it.
Yeah.
So do you have the wine when you watch the movie, or just when you discuss, or both?
Sometimes both.
Oh yeah.
Depends on the movie for me.
Why not?
Yeah.
I don't want to limit myself.
So yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we do. And then we go off the rails a lot as far as, you know, the content that we're talking about. It's more of like a comedy type thing where, you know, we just talk about these in light. So
we're like judging them fairly hard, some of the movies. And just
Especially the last season that we did, which was classic horror movies.
We did ones from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and some of them were rough. Not our favorite.
No.
Yeah.
Of course, the classics.
I mean, I listened to your Pet Cemetery one. That was interesting. A lot of plot holes in that.
There was. There was so many. We're like, okay, I guess we're just in a different scene now.
Like, why? 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 There's no point. But
is there a favorite one that you guys have discussed recently?
Of the classic ones?
Just in general.
We were talking about this recently with the classic ones. If we had a couple that we liked. We both liked Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
We both found that to be like a good entertaining movie. Mm-hmm. So we both like that of our classic ones.
Jaws was good.
I liked Jaws.
But it's not scary.
I thought Jaws was scary because I am very uncomfortable by sharks. So for me, watching it, I was very uncomfortable. But I just think it was a good movie too, just overall.
Living in Florida too, that has to be a little bit more of a concern than
it
us.
Definitely.
Here.
Yeah. When I go to the beach, I'm like, head on a swivel.
Sharks don't even attack that many people every year, but they're still scary. Jaws ruined sharks.
I know, because they always show, even on TV, a great white. It's always in slow motion. So you get like a real close up of its mouth and it's just uncomfortable.
Yeah, oh, I agree. I have a follow up question. What's your favorite movie that you've watched and why was it Treevenge? That's the one I suggested.
So much fun to watch. It was.
I know.
So, I mean, ridiculous. Yeah. I think Courtney didn't like all the random gore in it, though.
I don't do gore. Like, I don't care about gore, but it's the unnecessary gore in Treevenge. It took it over the top.
Yeah, I know. It did it for a comical purpose. It was never trying to be scary.
Yeah. It was entertaining for sure.
It's like texting. I'm like, what am I watching right now? What is this? And who is the one that suggested this?
Unnecessary.
You're like, okay.
Have you guys watched the Final Destination movies?
I love them.
No. We'll add that to our list.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So bad.
They're great.
You have to watch them.
I watched 1-5. We talked about this in the very first episode, which don't listen to. Just listen to me say it now, please. Our first episode is... It's not bad. It's that we had no idea what we were doing. And the audio quality is atrocious. But I watched all 5 Final Destinations in one sitting in college. I just sat down. I mean, senior year is like, I was really ahead on my thesis and I dropped neuroscience. Cause I think I failed the first exam. I'm like, I am like a credit ahead. Let me just drop this now before it tanks my GPA. So I was taking like 3 classes and my thesis was like super, super ahead. So I just sat down with it. I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to sit here and watch all 5 Final Destinations. They're like each like an hour and 20 minutes. So they're super digestible and they're really fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
The whole premise is that I think, so there's a group of like teenagers that have some kind of near death experience. Like they were supposed to die, but something happened and they didn't die.
So one of them has a vision.
Movie, actually. I think I've seen one of them. That sounds really familiar where they're trying to just like run out, like run from their fate kind of thing.
Oh yeah. I think I have too. Was there one time where something was like a wire or something that was wrapped around somebody's
shower?
Yes.
Yeah. So one of them.
Someone has like a vision. Like,
yeah. Oh,
yeah. I kind of like flash with me. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
I think they die in like really weird and sometimes gross ways.
If I remember correctly, I think 1 and 2 were good. I think 3 I didn't like and 4 and 5 were good.
We haven't done any of the like remakes or what is it, like the sequential type movie type things yet.
Oh, like if they're sequels.
We haven't done that yet. Maybe we should do that. Maybe we'll try it on Final Destination.
There we go.
You can watch all of them in one sitting.
Okay, that's
all right. Let's calm down.
Is that psychos?
I guess, is there a movie that you guys want to watch you haven't gotten around to yet on your show?
No, I'm good.
Well, the funny thing is that, I mean, there's a lot of, I can't say that I'm like a movie person, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I don't mind scary movies. And I think that's how this whole thing kind of like evolved, like, cause she definitely hates them, but
comedies are more my speed. So So I watch
Disney movies, comedies.
I want to be entertained. So that's more my base for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, no, this is kind of like a new realm for me as far as watching all of these type of, you know, all of movies in general, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. the scary movies. So I don't know if there's any particular ones. I like getting people's opinions on what I should be watching, because there's all kinds of new ones like on Netflix and things like that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and our next season that we're getting ready to record is going to be indie movies.
If you guys need advice, I can help you with that. We actually know a couple indie directors that we've reached out to and stuff. I mean, The Velocipaster is a phenomenal film. It's not scary by any means. It's really funny. We actually talked to Brendan Steer, who's the writer and director. Mm-hmm. Awesome. He's an awesome guy. It's a great film. Another one that's an indie film that we're trying to get someone from it on that I actually loved was Bigfoot the movie. It's a horror movie featuring Bigfoot, but the premise is it's a bunch of yinzers in, sorry, my fan just turned on, a bunch of yinzers in Pittsburgh, and their friend gets killed, and they're just basically hunting down Bigfoot, and they're just drunk all the time. It's a really funny movie, and it's really fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No worries. And hey, you know what? Why we shouldn't just do scary movies, right?
Well, these are all low budget horror films. Like these are in the horror genre and they're independent.
Okay.
But they're the other spectrum where it's like, hey, we know our budget's low. Let's just go like all out fun. We know what we are ridiculous, as opposed to like making something that's not actually scary and trying really hard to be scary.
Yeah. Right. Just kind of own what it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Some of them that we were looking at have made me a little nervous. So I'm just going to watch a bunch of trailers and then we'll kind of compile a list of things.
Yeah.
Whatever we decide to, you know, watch or whatever, I'm usually game for. So whatever.
Another great one that's actually scary. I don't think it's independent, but have you seen The Green Room?
I have that on our list.
It's on the list.
Yeah. That is a phenomenal movie. I love that movie.
Okay. Yeah. It'll be in our indie season for sure.
I feel like that was going to be like one of the first ones that we did.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, is it indie? I thought it might've been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It has a really famous guy. I think he's been knighted. What's his name? Bald guy.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
He's been knighted.
Sir.
Something.
What?
Yeah, he's got sir before his name. So I'm
gonna yeah. Google it. Actor guy. It's Google.
Sir actor guy.
Ask the Google, please.
Nope. Not so. That's guy standing. Nope.
Patrick Stewart Darcy.
Yeah, Sir Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah, I know this guy.
Yeah, it looked pretty intense from watching the trailer for it.
It is an awesome, awesome movie. I highly recommend it.
All right, cool. Yeah, we're going to have that on one of our first few episodes. So that'll be interesting.
So what do you say, Steve? Should we jump into the game?
Sure, let's jump into the game. Oh, so
okay.
I got some rules. I didn't really discuss the rules.
Do I just take notes?
Hopefully the rules of the game are rules of the game match up.
You can't tell them what the rules of the game hopefully should be.
We didn't fully discuss this part.
what they should be.
All right. So this is the one part we didn't discuss that I probably should have texted you about. So the basic rules are that we're going to give you a description of something, and it can be anything from a cryptid to a Pokemon, to a mop. You need to figure out if it's a cryptid or what it is or not. So I figured out a scoring system. I mean, I didn't discuss it with Emmy. I probably should have, but I was thinking 0 points for a wrong answer. 1 point for if you guess if it's a cryptid or not. We'll give you 2 points if you guess it's a cryptid and you guess it's either guess its name or guess where it's from. By where it's from, I mean like, it's not a cryptid and it's a Pokemon, let's say, or it's a cryptid and blah, blah, blah. And you get 3 points if you get its name where it's from and that it's a cryptid or a mop or something like
I'm going to suck at this.
Emmy and I have different lists because we wanted it so we could all play.
Okay.
Yes. And I think it might be helpful. So I'm going to read the objective definition of a cryptid so we are all on the same page.
Yes.
Okay. So this is from wikipedia.com. So cryptids are animals presumed by followers of the cryptozoology pseudoscience culture to exist on the basis of anecdotal or other evidence considered insufficient by mainstream science. Cryptozoologists focus on evidence mentioned in folklore record and rumor. Entities that may be considered cryptids include Bigfoot, Yeti, the Chupacabra, Jersey Devil, Loch Ness Monster, etc.
No pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seriously.
And also, despite like our logo and names, like Steve and I are not experts on cryptids either, so.
No, we're not.
Great. So at least we're
even playing
field. We're going to even playing field.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a good one to start with. Okay. That's just fun.
Is it easy?
I'll start with an easy one. How about? Okay.
Are you keeping score, Steve, or do you want me to?
Do you want to keep score?
Sure.
Yeah.
And Steve. Okay. Cool.
All right. Oh, the one I didn't think about is like, how do I do this? Whoever answers first or what?
I just shout it out.
I
right?
just shout. Yeah.
Yeah. Just whoever shouts it. All right.
Yeah. And I feel like we can kind of discuss.
All right. Here, we're going to start with a really, really, really easy one. Okay. Just to get, just get the juices flowing. A big hairy ape man.
Bigfoot.
Yes.
I love Bigfoot. Nice.
Good job.
All right.
You did it.
I think you did that one for me.
Terrified and sexy.
Or actually, no, we should buy a team. That was Stephanie's, right? Let's do it by person. Then Courtney gets the other one.
Oh, gee. Now I'm going to get zero. Womp,
womp. Okay, do you guys want to be a team?
One point. I know. It's taken away.
You can go, Evie.
All right. So this creature has the body of a human, but the head of a goat with glowing red eyes. Some people believe that this creature is a manifestation of the devil himself, and he only hunts in the darkness.
I have no idea.
he had like a giraffe body. It wasn't a human body. It's human arms.
Like a goat.
Giraffe.
Goat head. Is it goat boy?
Close.
Boy goat.
Goat man.
Goat man.
Is it actually Goat Man?
Yeah, it's a cryptid named Goat Man.
Oh, nice.
That was a good guess.
All right. Should I give you a point for that?
I think I get one point. No more than one point.
We'll give it to him.
Yeah.
It turns into Goat Man, so it's fine.
Yes, yes. When he was born, he was Goat Boy or Boy Goat.
So it depends on the stage of his life. You were still right.
Yes. Okay, so next one. Are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Resembles a pair of long white pants and walks around.
Stop it.
What? That's a thing?
Yeah. It's a thing somewhere.
I feel like that's got to be a Pokemon.
No.
No?
That's what we talked about this in an interview, Emmy.
I have no idea.
A pair of white pants that just walks around?
Yeah, it looks like a pair of white pants that walks around.
Oh.
I'll give you half the name. It lives in Fresno, California.
That doesn't help at all.
Is California in the name? Is that what
it's like? Well, no, the Fresno's in the name.
Oh.
Fresno ghost.
No.
Fresno pants.
No, it's a Fresno nightcrawler. That was Brendan Sears' favorite cryptid.
Oh.
I remembered it randomly when I was thinking of one.
All right, none of us get a point for that one.
Yeah.
No.
I think that's zero there.
Maybe there should be some kind of like, you did good with the California the thing. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Maybe there should be more hints if nobody can get it.
Yeah, I think we'll do that.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
All right. This insect-like creature looks like a blend between a large moth and a bright, fluffy white poodle.
Is it a Pokemon?
No.
No, for sure it would be a Pokemon.
You were trying to own that one.
I'm like, oh, I know all about that.
So I will say in 2009, there was a lot of viral photos of this creature. It like was all over Twitter.
In 2009?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't on Twitter in 2009.
Where were we?
We literally just found out about Twitter last year.
Is it a dog?
A dog? It's a moth. It's a type of moth.
It's a moth with a poodle body.
It's a moth poodle.
A fluffy moth.
A moth poodle.
A moth poodle.
Are there any other words that you would like to suggest in the name?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this will help.
Thank you so much.
It's from Venezuela. And the name of it, it's the Venezuelan blank blank. And there's two things that I've said.
Poodle moth.
Yes.
Venezuelan poodle moth.
Poodle moth.
Is that actually
stop it?
It is a real life animal, you guys.
I didn't Google this.
It's a real life animal?
Yes. It's an animal that exists.
Stop it.
Oh
my God.
I'm Googling it right now.
See what it looks like. Find a picture of it.
Oh my goodness.
I hate moths. Mm-hmm. Steve and I talk about this a lot. I hate moths. But this one's like kind of cute.
This one's wild.
Venezuelan poodle moth. There it is.
It looks
you
like
may have to,
Very.
How many pictures?
It looks like an alien.
Oh, shit. It's in a bathing suit.
Courtney, what's happening?
Sorry.
I love the photoshops of a dog's head on a caterpillar's body.
Are you struggling?
Yes, the struggle's real.
What's happening?
That's crazy.
Crazy, right?
That's nuts. I'm glad I got that.
I don't know how I feel about that.
It kind of looks like a rat.
In my mind, when you were describing it, it was like really big for some reason, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's
thinking it's the size of a poodle.
It actually kind of looks like a Pokemon, but in real life.
Right?
It does look like a Pokemon.
Yeah, it doesn't
look. Look at that.
Click on that one.
Oh, wow.
Okay, its face is pretty cute.
You guys are teaching us some stuff today.
I learned that fact just now. It's pretty cool.
It looks fake. It doesn't look like a bug.
No, it's really pretty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like cute little ears.
Thank you, Emmy. Thank you for teaching us about a poodle moth.
All right, so I got the next one. It's literally just a sentient vanilla ice cream cone.
Is that Pokemon?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Guess his name? Name? Vanilla is the first part of it. It's one word. Vanilla. No.
Nope.
Vanilla. And then just, come on, you got this. Just take one more guess.
I don't know. Vanilla. Vanilla pod. Vanilla.
Vanillite. It's a Pokemon. It's just vanilla ice cream. So... was it Stephanie that gets the point? Yeah. Who's that Pokemon?
It's like a partial point. She didn't like get it.
Pokemon. I'll take it.
You said Pokemon on every single thing that they've asked.
Two in a row for Pokemon.
That's a strategy.
That's a strategy.
She's just gonna say Pokemon and she's gonna try to get a point.
And also another strategy seems to just be like saying what the combination looks like.
Yeah, I mean that's how I've just been
Goatman.
I've just been slamming things together.
Yeah. It's working for you.
Yeah, it's really worked well.
My turn?
Yeah, your turn, go.
So this, I almost just said the name. This creature is shaped like a sausage and is about 2 feet long. It has no head or legs, and it is so poisonous that to merely touch it means instant death. It lives in the most desolate parts of the Gobi Desert. And I'll tell you a little bit more about it. So it travels underground, creating waves of sand on the surface. So you can see it moving along underneath the sand. And it is said to kill at a distance, either by spraying venom at its prey or by means of electricity.
I'm like 90% sure I know what this is, so I'm going to let you guys go first.
Sounds like a weird combination of like a worm, eel, snake thing. Sounds like that thing from Tremors, in that movie Tremors. It's like under the sand. It does.
Don't look at me. I don't know.
I got 2 points already, so okay. It's okay.
You threw out Pokemon twice.
The general category.
Yeah. We can give you credit for describing it correctly. What do you think it is?
Like worm?
It's a centipede.
Isn't that a bug?
So is that your final answer? Like a real animal centipede?
Well, it crawls. You didn't say it had legs. You said it looked like a sausage.
It does not have legs.
It does not have legs.
Or a head.
Or a head.
I think it's like a worm from that thing from Tremors.
You think it's Tremors? You think it's got like massive teeth that's going to like... eat people?
Well, if it can like kill people that aggressively, it's gotta have something.
Well, it's venom. It spits or something. I don't know. I don't know.
You guys were really close with the worm.
Is that like disgusting red worm with the teeth, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called, but I saw that when I was doing some research.
It does have teeth?
Yeah. Yes.
It's a cryptid. It's called the Mongolian death worm.
Oh.
But you guys did say worm. I feel like you get a point for that one.
Yeah.
Yay.
Do I get a point?
Yeah, you get a point.
Okay.
We can share it.
Okay.
All right. So this creature comes out during the winter solstice and likes to steal your sausages.
I know this one.
How do you know this one? What?
Can't say it. What is it?
Steve and I did an episode on these.
Yeah.
All right, what?
So it steals people's sausages?
So his whole deal is he goes into your, it's a dude. He goes into your house. He's a lad and he steals your sausages. Sausage is in his name.
Sausage thief.
Close.
Sausage robber.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes! Sausage swiper. You got it.
He's like the version of Santa in, where is it?
In Iceland. Only instead of bringing presents, he steals your sausages.
Oh, he's like an evil Santa.
No.
He's a hungry, evil Santa.
Stephanie got that one?
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
Okay,
calm down. That was really good.
calm down.
Okay. So this creature is said to be a giant sandcastle that is haunted by a ghost that allows it to maneuver around, striking its enemies.
Wait a minute. It's shaped as a sandcastle?
It is a sand castle.
It's got some serious camouflage.
It's sand castle in its name.
No.
Good. I tried.
You can also guess what it is. Remember that. You get a point for guessing what it is as well.
Oh, if it's like a cryptid or... Go ahead. You guess.
Steve, you have to guess too.
I actually know exactly what it is.
How do you... Okay.
Can you give us a description one more time?
Okay. This creature is said to be a giant sandcastle that is haunted by a ghost, which allows it to maneuver around, striking its enemies.
It sounds like it should be in like a Mario game. Isn't there Pokemon?
Yes.
Yes, it is a Pokemon.
You went from Mario to Pokemon?
Well, because it's a cartoon. I figure cartoon, Pokemon,
yeah, it
whatever.
Is a Pokemon.
Hey, you know.
I love my Pokemon still. It's a pastime. I can't think of his name. It's but I knew exactly what she was talking about the second Amy said it.
Yeah, you never guess the name if you don't know it. It's called Possaland.
Okay.
I don't like that.
Okay. All right, you ready for this one? It's part bear, part man, part pig.
Man, bear, pig.
Yes.
Nice.
Where is it from? You get extra points if you can tell me where it's from.
South Park.
Yes.
2 points. Stephanie's killing it.
You know what? I'm going to let her have it.
Okay. This nocturnal creature has dark fur, creepy claws, and a third eyelid, and yellow eyes that glow in the dark. It uses echolocation to hunt and find its way around at night.
Is it a bat?
Does it have stripes?
No.
Oh.
Does it have
stripes? What do you think it was?
Is it in a hool?
It is not.
Oh. Is it man bat?
Man to everything.
It's a primate. It's not a bat.
Oh.
I think I know what you're talking about. Does it have pointy ears? Yes. Nope, probably not. Okay. She
does it smell bad?
No.
There goes Skunk Ape then.
I'll give you guys a big hint on the name. So it got its name because when locals saw this creature, they would say, I. And it is a real animal that lives in the Galapagos.
Wow.
Okay.
How do you spell that?
Yeah.
A-Y-E-A-Y-E.
Oh, those things. Yeah, those things are weird. I had no idea what they were called, though.
Yeah, it's the only mammal that uses echolocation.
Oh, he's kind of
That's really
looking.
Cool. They're yeah, freaky, though.
His eyes are more like orange.
Ugly. They're really ugly.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Mm-mm.
I don't like that.
No.
Okay, so though, I got one for you. Its misfitting skin is covered in warts and moles and is always very unhappy and leaves a tear-soaked trail wherever it goes.
A frog.
And it's always crying when cornered or threatened. It may dissolve itself into tears.
I was going to do this one next.
Oh.
Oh, look, you guys are on the same page.
Yeah.
Is it a frog?
No.
Hmm. It has warts. I figured it was like a toad.
Is it a Pokemon?
No. You can guess categories. Remember, you can guess like category what it is.
So it's got to be a cryptid then.
Yeah.
It is a cryptid.
It is. It's the squirrel.
Nathan.
50-50 chance.
This is actually my favorite cryptid. So it only travels around at night because it's so ugly and it's sad because it doesn't think it's pretty. And it can dissolve in its own tears. It's very
sad. Be the judge of that. What's its name?
Oh,
Squonk.
Squonk.
Squonk? Okay, that's not a thing.
You didn't spell it right.
Yes, it is. Q-U-A-N-K. Animal?
O-N-K.
Oh.
Oh, that.
It's got a weird butt.
There's not very many pictures.
Is that right?
Yep.
That's a squonk.
Oh, he's crying.
He's so sad.
I mean, he's not super cute, but that makes me feel bad for him.
Stephanie would just take him in and coddle him.
That's nice.
From a distance, I might.
From a distance.
He looks all wet.
He's not like scary. It's not like Bigfoot that's going to come attack you. It's just like,
he's just a sad little thing.
I'd bring him in and give him a cupcake or something.
A cupcake?
I'm having a cupcake and some wine. God. I'll share.
This one's kind of fun. So living in China, this creature uses its 4 wings to fly. It has 2 where the arms should be. And then 2 attached to its feet.
Wings on
feet
its
wings.
Feet wings. Is it a cryptid?
It is not a cryptid. This is actually a category we have not had yet.
Is it a kite?
No.
It's like a guess.
Is I mean, a person in a costume?
No. It's from China.
An animal?
Closer.
Is it a mythology of sorts?
Do you guys want a hint?
Yes.
It used to exist for real.
Oh, it's the dinosaur.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of it, but it's the first one they found with the wings.
It's called a microraptor.
Microraptor. Yeah, it's the first one that has the feathers.
How big are they?
Micro.
Just a tiny head.
Well, I know it's small.
I'll Google that.
It's a small bird, but it has wings like attached to its legs.
So a microraptor is 2.53 feet long.
Well, that's pretty cute.
Oh.
Yeah, it's small.
You just looked it up. What are you doing?
I wonder what it looks like.
Oh, it does have wings on its. What's on the tail? What is that?
A weird tail too.
What was that?
It's like a platypus tail.
Huh. That's a scary looking thing. Okay.
Right, now you've added dinosaurs into the mix. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Just never know where we're going on this.
Yeah, it could be anywhere. I got a good one. You guys ready?
Yes.
It is a mass bundle of coarse strings or yarn.
Pokemon.
No.
Is it alive?
No, it's not alive.
Is it yarn?
Nope.
It's a ball of yarn?
Sounds like garbage.
Okay. Nope. Say this again. Say this.
It's attached to a stick.
Yarn on a stick.
Is it a mop?
Yes, it's a mop.
Oh my God.
I've added inanimate objects to the mix too. I like it. Okay.
You know what? Ready. Auntie gave us a preface that there was a mop probably in this at some point because you said it could be a mop at the beginning.
I didn't say it could be a mop.
Wow.
Oh, that's so funny.
Okay. Steve took my squonk, so now I have to find something else.
Okay. You can't use mop now. So.
Yeah.
No, mop's gone. Okay. This bizarre beast lives in the water, and it has a short neck, a huge jaw, and a massive skeleton, 8 feet of which are accounted for just in its head, and it is considered a powerful killing machine.
An alligator.
No.
Is it a Spinosaurus?
Close.
Oh, it's not a Spinosaurus.
In Florida, I mean, it had to be an alligator. That's just
an alligator's a dinosaur, so that sounds gross anyway, yeah.
Head is 8 feet long.
Megalodon?
No, you're in the category, Steve.
The dinosaur of sorts. It's a Mosasaurus? Mosasaur?
Starts with a P.
Pleistosaur? Paleo?
That was really close. I'm going to give that to you. It's a Pliosaur.
Pliosaur.
You guys are so much smarter than we are.
I love dinosaurs. That's why.
Okay.
All right. So that's it, but I had another one for you. Okay.
I only have one left, so.
Let's see. Okay, so it is a 6 foot tall creature with the head of a horse, 2 long hooved legs, 2 short front legs, bat wings, and horns going out of its head with glowing red eyes.
That was the thing in the ritual.
I don't know what it was.
That's probably pretty close.
Wasn't it supposed to be the devil, though? Wasn't that what it was?
I don't know. He said horns on his head. So
I'll give you partial credit for that.
Okay.
All right, Courtney gets half a point.
It's the Jersey Devil.
Oh,
okay.
I thought it was Mothman.
We all thought this last week.
No. I just love Mothman. Okay, this is my last one.
I have a few more. We could do like a lightning round or something at the end.
Oh no pressure.
we'll do a score update after this one, maybe, and then we'll go into a lightning round.
Okay.
Well, Stephanie's like killing everybody. So.
She is. Guys, I have 1 point.
I think I have a half a point.
I think I have 3.
You have 2.5 points. This is my show. I have 1 point. So if giraffes and zebras could mate, their offspring would look like this creature. It has striped legs like a zebra, but the face of a giraffe. And it has an extremely long tongue, which can reach lengths of up to 12 inches.
Okapi or whatever?
Yes. How did you know that?
Because they have one at the Bronx Zoo. I got 3 points for that. I knew what it was and everything.
That's impressive.
I knew the name.
You didn't know it was an animal. You knew the actual name of it.
Yeah.
You knew where to find one right now.
Yeah. I know where to find one right this second. I knew its name. I knew its name.
Bronx Zoo.
So the reason why I included that one is because up until the early 1800s, it was actually considered a cryptid. It had only been seen by reclusive tribes in the Congo. So fun fact.
Fun fact.
Shall we do a score update?
Yes.
Sure.
I'm keeping score on this bill.
It's official.
So in the bottom, Emmy with 1 point. Courtney, third place with 2.5 points. Stephanie in second place with 6 points. And Steve is leading the charge with 9 points.
I got the game right.
Yeah, but you created the game. So
it sounds like we were tied before this last question, too.
All right. Well, we can do like a lightning round. I guess I'll be out of it because I have all the rest of them. It's a large squally. Jesus. It's a large scaly creature that lives in the water.
Loch Ness Monster.
Yes.
Good job.
I'm about to say a fish.
It's described as either a giant flying bat or a giant flying primate.
A monkey?
A flying squirrel?
No.
Is that cryptid?
Yeah, it is a cryptid.
That's all I got.
It's the ahul.
What?
Oh.
Ahul.
Does it have wings or is it just like a literally flying, just he jumps like really?
No, it has wings. They say it's either a giant bat or a primate with wings.
Hmm. All right.
I'll go with it.
Either or. They're 3 foot tall. They're upright. Their ears are pointed upright. They have thin, long limbs. Their legs are like emaciated. They have long arms with claws and their movements defy gravity. What am I talking about here?
Sounds like an alien.
A velociraptor.
I wish.
Their movements defy gravity. Are they on this planet?
Yes. Actually, we can give you partial credit for aliens. They could be aliens, but we're not positive.
Is it a cryptid?
It is a cryptid.
Stephanie, it's the
Hopkinsville Goblin.
Oh, I knew that.
I found out about that today, so. This creature is a small amphibian that has part plant and moves around on 4 legs with a bulb on its back.
Bulbasaur.
Oh, yes, it is Bulbasaur. That's correct, it's Bulbasaur.
Good job.
Taking me back to like my 5th grade days playing Pokemon with my brothers.
All right. Here's another one. It's a large dog-like creature with jaws that can pulverize bone, and both the men and the, not men, both the males and females have penises, or have pseudo-penises.
All of us are just...
I'm trying to picture it. Is that what's happening?
I think that's what I'm doing. I'm like, well, how do they continue on with this species? Because
the females have a pseudo penis. It's not a real penis, but it's structured and works kind of similar to the male penis.
Is it a chupacabra?
Not hermaphrodites. What?
Is it a chupacabra?
No, they live in Africa.
Is it a real animal?
Yeah, it's a real animal.
I actually guessed that because usually cryptids are described as male.
Yeah.
Interestingly.
And so, there's usually not populations of them.
Yeah, usually the fact that there's like a female version means that it's not a cryptid.
Can you guess what it is? You guys all definitely know what it is.
Say it again.
It is a large dog-like creature that lives in the African savannah. They have jaws that can pulverize bone. And the
hyena.
Yes, it's hyena.
I didn't know that they had
pseudo penises.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
I was just thinking
of Lion King.
They don't have penises on
anything. No, they don't. No.
Only the alpha female reproduces. The other females raise her young.
Oh.
I'll raise her young, yeah.
Wow, that sounds...
All the females have a pseudo penis.
Good fun fact.
Yeah.
Good to know. I'm going to use that today in a conversation I have with somebody.
How are you going
to
bring that up?
I don't know. You know what I found out today?
Do you guys want to know about pseudo penises?
So we have a few more. So this small creature comes out during the winter solstice as well, and he slams your door for 2 weeks. He slams your doors.
So he's rude. Got it.
Yeah, he's a rude dude. He's a rude lad, some might say.
Is he a leprechaun?
No.
Damn.
He has lad in the name, though, right?
No, but what he does is in his name.
He's very similar to Sausage Wiper.
Door slamming boy.
Close enough. Door slammer. I got 2 more for you. This is a small man-like creature that stands about 3'7" tall.
Leprechaun.
No.
That was fascinating too.
3'7" Small man-like creature?
Yes.
Man-like. What else is he like if he's
He's just a short man.
Similar to humans, but you know how like Bigfoot is hypothetically like humanoid, but isn't? It's a humanoid man that stands about 3'7" tall.
So he's furry, maybe?
Could be furry.
I feel like you just told us what it is.
It's not Bigfoot. And it's not Littlefoot either.
Is that a thing?
No, but it could be.
Before time. I don't know.
It's a category we haven't touched yet.
So many categories.
A humanoid.
It is a humanoid. I don't know if that counts, though. Okay. It is Homo floresiensis, the hobbit man of Indonesia.
Interesting. Is it a cryptid or?
No, it's an extinct relative of ours.
Okay.
Yeah. Really? Does it look like a person?
I mean, we don't know what it looks like because it died like 50,000 years ago, but we have fossils. Yeah, they're hominins, but they're not our direct ancestors. They're like somewhere in between, like a branch of evolution. And they live in Indonesia and we probably outcompeted them.
Interesting. Yeah.
Okay.
Finally, this creature is aquatic. It has a duck's bill, a beaver's tail.
Puss. A platypus.
Good yes, job. It's a platypus.
Pretty? Nice.
Did I get it?
You did. Good job.
Thank you.
Also, it was once considered a cryptid because when the taxidermized bodies were sent to scientists in England, they're like, no fucking way this is real.
Right. It's bizarre, for sure.
All right. So here's the score update. I have pulled out of the rear.
You know what that means.
Courtney has 4.5 points. I have 5 points.
Oh,
so nice.
It's a battle for laughs. Stephanie has 8.5 points and Steve still has 9 points, even after the lightning round that he did.
Oh, yeah. That was a good part of. Yes. All right. Well, that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
This is definitely the first time we're probably gonna have to streamline this.
Dave, for sure. That was fun.
Thanks for coming on.
A lot of random shit.
Yeah, we did. We're about to go back through our Google searches and see what we actually learned.
I never thought we'd talk about pseudo penises, but hey, there's first for everything.
Here we are.
So thanks for coming on. Where can people find you? Plug everything you got.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Easiest way to find us is our website, tipsypod.com. There's links for our Twitter, our Instagram, our Facebook. We started a YouTube channel. So we're going to be doing watch along movies. So we're going to watch like short, like maybe 15, 20 minute horror movies and record ourselves while we watch them. So that should be interesting. So we'll put those up on our YouTube. We're going to do our first one today. So wish us luck on that.
Good luck.
And then also on our website, there's all different tabs to support us, buy our merch. We got our swag on today.
Can't really see it.
Yeah, our mics are blocking a little bit. But just trust us, we're wearing our swag.
I'm telling you, listeners, it's cute. Go check
it out. But buy our merch first.
Buy in the same time. Go one side to the other and we'll just share. It's fine.
You can have a really great outfit on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Let me be so fashionable.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on. And we're back.
We're back.
That was a very fun interview with They're Terrified and Tipsy.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I am dominant at a game that we invented, and I didn't even play the lightning round.
I don't know how I fell so behind.
I don't know. To be fair, the first two, I just threw man bat or boy bat or whatever together. Yeah. And then the second one, I threw poodle and moth together. So that, like,
I think too there were some of them like the labs that I already knew but I didn't say because I wanted to give everyone a chance, so
I know
we'll leave it on that.
I left the Pokemon one because I knew that, but then I just jumped on the Opaki or whatever it's called, Okapi.
Yeah,
I just knew exactly what you were talking about and I wanted to win.
I know, it's okay.
All right, so we're going to jump into the Mandela effect, which I think actually is an interesting contrast with The Simpsons, because that's predicting the future. And this is misremembering the past.
All right, let's get into it.
The Mandela effect refers to a situation where a large number of people share the same false memory. The term Mandela effect was coined in 2009 by paranormal researcher Fiona Broom, who was at a conference and she was talking to other people about how she remembered the tragic death of South Africa's president Nelson Mandela while he was in prison in 1980, which is not what happened.
Yeah, he didn't die.
He didn't die until like 2013. So that was just wrong. And it turns out that she found that apparently millions of people around the world also remember Nelson Mandela dying back in the 80s, even though he died in 2013. And they're really confused about it. And they remember reports of like news coverage of his funeral. The one thing I think is funny is they all say that it was an incredibly memorable eulogy his wife gave, but not a single person can cite a single thing she said. So I don't think that's a very memorable eulogy if you can't remember any of it.
That's interesting, though, that a lot of people noted that.
Yeah. When we get into some of the explanations for it, which I like psych. I'm very interested in psychology. I almost did that as a major. I also almost did it as a minor, but neuroscience was going to tank my GPA senior year. So fuck that. I want to have a fun senior spring. So he didn't actually die. And a lot of the true believers in the Mandela effect believe that this is proof of parallel universes. The reason they remember these things incorrectly, the true believers, as they call themselves, because of course they do, because they're fucking an internet cult, basically. Right. Like, I think the Mandela effect's awesome, but it's like they're an internet cult. So of course they have like a douchey name, like the true believers or like the all knowing or some like stupid shit like that. And basically they believe that there's like two timelines. And one theory is that the Large Hadron Collider in 2008 created a rip in space time and put us in a different timeline. But there's literally no evidence of that happening. And the other thing is they believe that these memories are residual memories from a timeline that's been erased.
Have we already been on that timeline?
They think that we have, and they're special for some reason, which, you know, people like to think that they're special, you know?
Yeah.
I don't really believe that because memory is so, so, so fallible. It's so easy to misremember things. A thing from psych. So, you know, like people value eyewitness testimony way too much.
Yes.
And especially in murder cases, there's actual study results show that when there is a weapon involved in a crime scene and you see it, your memory is like 70% less accurate than normal. So That's why it's so problematic that we even still have eyewitness testimonies at trial, because
You
don't know anything. But the reason I think it's good that we combine these two is, let's pretend for a minute that there are these timelines. What if The Simpsons isn't predicting the future? What if things got screwed up and all those episodes are just making fun of the present, but the timelines got all screwed up and they're airing before these things happen?
Oh, so the theory is that we're not on a...
So no, that's my theory. The theory is that like we're on a different timeline or something, or that these people are from a different universe or different like parallel universe.
So that would mean that we are a little bit in the past.
Yeah. What if hypothetically we're in the past, or what if we're in the present, but something happened? All the episodes are from the future, but they came out in the past.
I mean, I love this shit.
Just food for thought.
Yeah. I've said multiple times that this past year feels like we're in the simulation and whoever's running the simulation just like spilled coffee on their computer. We're just in the glitch right now.
I know. But at the same time, though, is like as bad as it feels for us because we're not used to this. If you look at it throughout history, they'd have to deal with like pandemics that killed like 50% of the global population for like 50 years at a time. So we have it really good.
Wait, what do you mean?
The Black Death?
Yeah.
That killed most of the global population.
Yeah. So what are you saying?
My point is like, yeah, it does feel that way. But you got to think, like, we've just been really lucky that we have technology and haven't had to deal with a pandemic. Like back in the day, people like Isaac Newton created physics, I believe it was, during a bubonic plague pandemic because he was forced to stay home.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the pandemic. It's like the murder hornets and the reality TV series president and the...
No, I know.
You know, it's just like everything at once.
Things are always bad, though. I just feel like everything gets better. Even if they feel worse in the moment, I guarantee things are better now than they were like 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
It's hard, though, right now because they're in the middle of a pandemic. So I'm going to get into some notable examples before I get into explanations. And then we have a fun game that I'm excited for you to play along with. All right. So some notable examples of the Mandela effect. These ones I chose were, because all of them except for the last one, I actually genuinely misremembered. So that's why I chose these. The first is, so you know in Star Wars, the famous quote, "Luke, I am your father," is actually just, "No, I am your father."
Hmm.
And a lot of people remember it, obviously, "Luke, I am your father" is a famous quote.
Yeah.
I almost think with this one, what's probably happened is that Star Wars is such a big thing, and it's been misquoted in popular media, movies, and TV so many times since the 80s. I think that it's not a Mandela effect. I think it's a one person fucked up, and then it just like tumbled and tumbled and tumbled until it's unmanageable.
Because I don't even know if I've ever seen the original, or I have, but like a very long time ago. So I remember that quote from other people saying it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love Star Wars. I've seen it fairly recently, past few years, but even so, I didn't catch those. "No, I am your father."
And Luke, I am your father. It's just a better quote.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't make sense.
You know, it's really funny. Just a random aside. So Darth Vader, I think it's in like Norwegian or one of those languages, literally means evil father. So all the people in Norway, when it came out, knew that he was Luke's bad father.
Oh my God. That's actually funny.
Yeah. Cause they all saw it and they're like, oh, this Darth Vader literally just means evil father or bad father or something like that.
That's funny.
Okay. So the next one is, so you know, in Snow White, the witch actually says magic mirror on the wall, not mirror, mirror on the wall.
Interesting.
Which I thought is mirror, mirror, but in Shrek, they do say mirror, mirror. So I could see where my brain got confused.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of the same thing. It's like you remember it from other people quoting it.
Yeah. This is the one that got me because this is one that I didn't realize, like that I genuinely believed before I heard about the Mandela effect or anything in my life. It's not Berenstain Bears, it's Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, I mean, like, is that how it's said or is that how it's spelled?
How it's spelled. It's spelled Berenstain, Berenstain.
I think they just spelled it a stupid way.
Yeah.
And everyone was just like, no.
I agree. I mean, there's also like, there's some psychological stuff about memorizing patterns that explains this away pretty easily. But that's the one from these that really tripped me up. I remember it being Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, I definitely do too. But
yeah. And finally, we weren't alive for this. This is just a notable example that everyone talks about. So I don't have any opinions, but people swear that in the 90s, comedian and actor Sinbad played a genie in a movie Shazam that just doesn't exist.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Their explanation is there was a movie he was in called Kazam in the 90s. And there's also a famous movie poster of a different movie, I forget what this is called, where he kind of looks like he's a genie. So the theory is that people just slammed the two things together and got it all messed up in their minds.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
So we're going to go through some explanations now, and then we're going to get into my fun game, which I'm excited to play.
Okay.
All right. So the big thing is false memory, and there's sort of like a few parts to this. Sorry, this is coming off like a research paper. That's just how I, that's how I'm programmed to write.
Let's do it.
I'm excited. Okay. With false memory, I assume you sort of know it, but just for everyone else who's not done this kind of stuff for like psych and whatnot, false memories are when memories are recalled rather than remembered perfectly. They're influenced to the point where they can eventually become incorrect. And in this way, they're unreliable and not infallible. So basically what that is saying is that when you're recalling a memory imperfectly, it's just not perfect. Your brain does things to fill in the gaps and you have a false memory. And this is like such an interesting concept because when you talk about like what's actually real, because if you don't write down hypothetically exactly what happened in your day or exactly what happened to an event or record it or something, you're never going to fully remember it correctly.
Yeah.
That's the only way to get the truth.
And isn't it like every time you recall it, your brain like will change it a little bit?
I don't remember if that's actually true. I think it's more a matter of every time you recall it or retell a story, I'd say, it changes the more you tell a story. I think partially is because it's this idea of how fallible memory is. There's three things that sort of influence it. There's confabulation, post-event information, and priming, which we'll get into after this, each individually what they mean. But I think basically the idea is your story gets changed or memory gets changed every time you recall it because you add new details slowly as you get primed or someone implants those ideas in your head. So I think in theory, there is a scenario where I guess if you somehow didn't get your ideas like planted in your head that your story would change. It wouldn't change, but it's like the more you tell it, the more it changes.
Okay.
Confabulation is when your brain fills in the gaps that are missing in your memory so you make sense of them. Basically, in this case, what they're getting at, especially the Mandela effect, is as you get older, you don't remember things nearly as well. So your brain fills in the gaps. And then that with suggestibility, which is priming, is like people will suggest that they saw Nelson Mandela die in 1980. And maybe you don't fully remember what you remember. And then you've been primed. So then priming, just get to that too, is like, those are factors leading up to an event that affect our perception, AKA suggestibility. And those are suggestions that influence response and memory. So basically, great example of that is if I say, was there a black car versus did you see a black car, right? When I say, did you see a black car? I'm implanting the idea that you should have seen a black car. Whereas if there was there, you could easily say no. And then the other one is post-event information, which is information you'll learn after an event that can change your memory of an event. This includes subtle information and explains unreliability of eyewitness testimony. So basically, once you figure out additional details, your brain tries to add those into the story to make more sense of it. So what this means for the Mandela effect is, let's say you're already not sure about what you remember, right? About Berenstein or Berenstein, or Luke, I am your father. And so you're not sure to begin with. So you're like, Luke, I am your father makes sense. You fill that in. And then there's also the priming. Everyone else is saying it. So it's basically like you develop this idea through like suggestibility and all the new information you get. So the other big thing that they have is the impact of the internet. Mm-hmm. Like, people don't really factor in how much impact the internet has on making people believe fake things. If you look at Q, that's the best example.
Yeah.
I mean, and these communities online are like cesspool. And I'm just like QAnon, I'm talking about this in general, are just cesspools for misconceptions and misinformation. And those seem to gain traction more than anything. There's actually a study over a 10-year period that looked at 100,000 news stories discussed across Twitter. And 70% of the time, rumors and just hoaxes won out over the truth. So for whatever reason, fake news spreads so quickly on the internet and nothing else does, which explains the Mandela effect. Because each time you have this thing, someone chimes in with their own experience or memory of those events, and those false memories start to affect your faulty memories. And then you start to remember things incorrectly, even though that wasn't the case. I mean, look, the Mandela effect is cool, but I think psychology is even cooler.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the fake news is probably more sensationalized. So like, you're more likely to see that and remember it.
Yeah.
So
I think exactly. And also, the more people like who chime in with their own experiences, the more real it seems, even if it's fake, which is the problem with the internet, because it gives a voice to a lot of idiots. All right. So you ready for the game that I created? We have 15 examples of the Mandela effect. Okay. So the game is, you have to tell me if you think this is a real example of the Mandela. These are all real. I didn't make these up. Is this a real example of the Mandela effect or a failure of our public education system?
Oh, okay.
Was Alexander Hamilton a president of the United States?
No.
A lot of people think he was. But I mean, obviously, he wasn't a president. And I think like people who are like, oh, the timeline shit. The explanation that I found in articles was that because he's a founding father, people misconstrue him. Same like Ben Franklin. But our education system.
You hear his name so much. Like,
yeah. Our education system is so atrocious, though, in this country that I wouldn't put it past people to just be uneducated.
Yeah, that's very true.
So I say not a real Mandela effect. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree.
Okay. So Oscar Mayer is not spelled Oscar Meyer. It's M-A-Y-E-R, not M-E-Y-E-R.
I just feel like they spelled it a dumb way. Same thing as Berenstein Bears. It's like
Oscar Mayer Wiener, but I knew it was Oscar Mayer Wiener, M-A-Y-E-R. That's Meyer.
M-A-Y-E-R. What do people think it is?
Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R.
That doesn't even seem right to me.
It's not right. Also, there's literally a song that spells it out, which is why I think people are just stupid. It's my baloney has a first name. It's Oscar. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R.
Yeah, not Mandela effect.
Not Mandela effect.
Nope.
Educated people. All right. It's Sex and the City, not Sex in the City.
That one, I kind of thought it was Sex in the City.
Really?
But, yeah.
I knew it was Sex and the City, but I don't know. That one, I think, is an easy like mistake to make.
Yeah. Sex in the City just sounds better.
Next one. Pikachu's tail isn't black. Did you think Pikachu's tail is black?
Doesn't it have like a black tip on it?
That's Pichu. That's the baby form.
Oh.
So actually, the black tip. So a lot of people think that Pikachu has a black tip on its tail, but it doesn't.
Yeah, I thought it did.
Yeah, if you Google it, look at a picture of Pikachu and then also look up Pichu.
Pikachu. Yeah.
I think that's why people make the mistake.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that Pikachu's tail was completely black like Pichu's.
Yeah, people think that it has like a black mark on it, but it doesn't.
Yeah, I thought it had a black tip, but
it doesn't look bad either way. This is one that I just knew the answer to, and I didn't even realize people had other opinions. Let's see what you think. Does Curious George have a tail?
I feel like the answer is no, because you're asking.
Yeah, he doesn't. Did you think he did?
But yeah.
He does not have a tail.
I mean, it just feels weird that he wouldn't, right?
Like, look it up. He looks really weird with a tail, actually. Like, it's unpleasant to look at.
That's the first thing when you type in Curious George's tail. No, I think he looks good with a tail.
I don't know, though, because I always remember him not having a tail, so it just looks super out of place to me.
Hmm.
Okay, so let's go to the next. So in Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter never says, "Hello, Clarice." He actually just says, "Good morning."
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, isn't that so weird? And that's a ton of people.
Close.
A ton of people recall him saying, "Hello, Clarice." He doesn't even say anything close to that. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I mean, I've never even seen the movie, but just knowing how often it's quoted, and it's not even close. Like, that's weird.
I don't even know.
Yeah, like how?
How do you fuck up that badly?
Like, so wrong.
I know. At least Luke, I am your father, is close enough to know I am your father. You can mishear it. But yeah. Good morning and hello, Clarice, sound nothing alike.
Yeah, that one's weird.
Is Jiffy a brand of peanut butter?
Yeah.
No, there's just Jif or Skippy.
Jiffy?
There's a Jif and a Skippy, but there's no Jiffy peanut butter.
I'm looking it up. Oh, Jiffy corn muffin mix.
That's type in Jiffy peanut butter. It's not real.
Peanut butter. Oh, weird.
I know. I remember it being Jiffy peanut butter, but there's only a Skippy and a Jif.
Then seeing someone made a fake logo that says Jiffy, and that doesn't look right.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, but it makes sense. You get Skippy and Jif mixed up.
Yeah, I think I figured that Jif was short for Jiffy, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought Jiffy was real. My cousin actually told me 2019 in 4th of July, we were talking about it, and he said Jiffy doesn't actually exist. I was like, really? I had no idea.
Weird. Okay.
So, do you know it's Fruit Loops, F-R-O-O-T, Loops, not Fruit Loops, F-R-U-I-T.
Oh, that's dumb.
I thought it was like fruit. I had no idea.
Fruit Loops.
Fruit? It's not even like, that's just stupid, right?
Fruit? Yeah, that's not Mandela Effect. That's just like them spelling in a dumb way.
Yeah, that's dumb. So some people believe that the Lindbergh baby is still a cold case, despite the fact that he or she was found dead.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So Charles Lindbergh, the guy who like flew across the planet or whatever, his baby was kidnapped and was found dead. And a lot of people apparently report that the baby was never found and is a cold case. They don't remember it.
Oh.
I chalk that up to clearly people just aren't paying attention to the news. I don't think there's an alternate timeline where it's a cold case.
The news cycle probably just like moved on.
Yeah, seriously. There's another one. You know what? It's Looney Tunes, not Looney Tunes. So Looney T-U-N-E-S, not Looney T-O-O-N-S.
That was weird.
I could have sworn it was Looney Tunes, like cartoons.
Yeah, I did too.
But then again, perhaps it's just that tunes makes more sense. T-O-O-N-S?
Yeah, I mean, that just like seems right in my head, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's not though. So Smokey the Bear is actually just named Smokey Bear.
Not Smokey the Bear?
Yeah, but I don't buy that one though, because it's like Smokey the Bear, you can still call it that.
Yeah, and also it's like, he doesn't really have a real name. Like he's not... Yeah.
Also, Smokey the Bear has been the worst thing for forest fires in this country.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So the reason that forest fires in California are so bad is like climate change does have some effect, but it's not nearly as big as you'd think. The real issue is that we had 50 years of fire management. And as a result, we have so much biomass accumulated that the slightest thing causes a gigantic fire. So Smokey the Bear has done so much more bad stuff for the forest fires than anything else, because fire is a natural system of the earth. So fire is supposed to come in periodically and burn up stuff.
Yeah.
And we're just like, nope, no fires, no fires, no fires. And then like 50 years later, it's like mega fire every fucking year.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. So Smokey's actually been terrible for the environment. This one makes me sad. Tons of people swear that they were taught there were 52 states.
Okay, that's wrong.
That's a failure of our education
system. That is wrong for anyone who's listening.
That's a major, major, major failure of your education system.
That's just no.
Not more to talk about. Is there a dash or no dash in Kit Kat?
I want to say no dash.
That's correct.
Yes.
There's no dash. This one is weird, this next one. in Lord of the Rings, Gandalf says, "Fly, you fools." But a lot of people remember him saying, "Run, you fools."
I haven't watched it recently enough for that to make an impact on me.
Yeah, I haven't in a while. And the last one, does the Monopoly Man have a monocle or not?
No, that's Mr. Peanut.
Exactly. You got it.
I could definitely see how you could mess that up.
Yeah, he looks like he could have a monocle, but he also looks fine without it. So it's not that weird. But yeah, that's our little game there.
Fun.
This stuff is always so fascinating. We've talked time travel today. We've talked predicting the future, people remembering the past completely wrong.
Yeah, this was actually a really fun episode. Kind of a mind fuck episode.
Yeah, it's a good one. Okay, there's something I have to do before we leave. So I haven't done it yet, but it will be out before this. I'm going to release a tier list of Pokemon starters. I'm going to make it as obnoxious as fucking possible. So let me read my real one so people don't get upset.
Okay.
So in F tier, we have, you know like tier list work, right?
Let's just explain it for everyone.
So the tier list, you have your F tier, D tier, C tier, B tier, A tier, and S tier. S tier is the best. Is the best ones and after the worst, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like a ranking system. So in F tier, we have Sobby, Scorbunny. I never fucking use these things. Look like shit. Oof. Terrible designs. Popilio, Litten, the kitten, Froakie, Fennecky, T-Pig, and I think that's it. All right. So then in D tier.
Those are all pretty bad.
If I can't name these things, I'm looking at a list right now. If I can't name them without a list, they fucking suck. That's my belief. All right. D tier, we have Chimchar. I've played all the Pokemon games and I can't name them. So that's a sign these are non-memorable. Yes. All right. We have a Chimchar. Then we have Chespin. And then Chikorita. I know Chikorita is like Gen 2, but it just never did it for me.
That sounds like the soup. Chikorita soup.
And then in C tier, we have Turtwig, Oshawott, which is an otter, I think. And we have, that's B tier, hold up. And we have that monkey fucker thing. What the hell is it called? Oh, Grookey, what a terrible name.
Grookey.
Then we got ourselves, in B tier, we got ourselves Pikachu, Rowlet, and then this penguin thing that I don't know its name.
Pikachu in B tier, that's surprising.
It's I don't like Pikachu that much.
Really?
Yeah, and we have Piplup. I think Pikachu is overrated. And then I don't need this list anymore. I know the rest of the names of these Pokemon. All right. And then A tier, we got Totodile and Cyndaquil. And then in S tier, we have a Bulbasaur, Treecko, Squirtle, Charmander, Mudkip, and Torchic.
Mudkip?
You don't know Mudkip? Here, I'll share my screen.
I know who he is, but why would you?
You don't think Mudkip's the best?
No.
You don't like Mudkip?
He's just like, he looks like a little, I don't know. He's just like weak. He looks like a little.
Is he a weakling?
Yeah.
I don't know. I had to put all like the shitty new ones that I have no interest in using in F tier.
Yeah.
Okay. And now we're going to read a review.
Review of the week.
Do, 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 do.
So this one comes from Silver Pipes. Five nice. Stars. The headline is Fun and Wild Ride. And they said, you like weird, you like unexplained, you like weird and unexplained. This is the show for you. It's a fun look into all things that don't make sense, but it makes sense to listen to this show. Instant subscribe. So thank you, Silver Pipes.
Thank you. That's great, great, great. We appreciate that a lot.
Yes, we really do.
Thanks for coming. Make sure to check out Tipsy Pod on their socials. I'll be linked in the bio. And I guess this is the episode that comes out the week of our newsletter. So sign up for our newsletter. It comes out tomorrow if you're listening to this on Thursday. Otherwise, you're going to miss it, but you can sign up for the next one.
Yeah.
Check out our merch store. Consider donating a couple bucks to us. It is tax season. You know what would be a great tax write-off? Donating a few $100,000 to us.
Is that a thing?
Gift?
Okay.
I think that's a gift.
Yes.
So yes, yeah. You can gift us that on Buy Me a Coffee, or you can wire it directly to my bank account. Yeah. So thank you guys so much for listening. Oh, it's a quick announcement is we are going to do, I don't remember if we said this already. So we're going to do Pinocchio in Space sometime this month. So look out for details for that. We're going to give you a, we're going to put out a bonus episode sometime this month. So look out for details for that. We're going to use the bonus episodes to test out some new content segments. And if something sticks, we're going to use it. So please give us feedback on those and take it away, Emmy. Where can people find us?
All right. So you guys can check us out at misfitsandmysteries.com. That's where you can find all of our blogs, all of our podcast episodes, our merch, the newsletter, everything Misfits and Mysteries. And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at podcast_misfits.
And thank you guys all for listening. And as always, stay spooky.
Stay spooky.